Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
In November, the IRS announced new rules that would give it the authority to restrict voter guides, legislative scorecards, get-out-the-vote campaigns, and even the voter registration activities of nonprofit groups. The federal agency calls such civic engagement as, quote, candidate-related political activity, unquote. Tea Party groups believe the rules are an effort to curb conservative activism and drown out conservative voices for the upcoming elections. According to a January 16th Wall Street Journal article, quote, the fight was sparked by a new rule that the Treasury Department and the IRS introduced during the hush of Thanksgiving recess, ostensibly to, quote-unquote, improve the law governing nonprofits. What the rule, in fact, does is categorize as, quote-unquote, political all manner of educational activities that 501c4 social welfare organizations currently engage in, unquote. Now, to help us understand all the ramifications of this, I have as my guest today Matt Staver. He's the founder and chairman of Orlando, Florida-based Liberty Council, where I bet it's not 10 degrees.
No, it's not 10 degrees.
We will share the 10 degrees with you if you want some cooling effect there. Just what is Liberty Council?
Well, Liberty Council is an international religious liberty, education, litigation, and policy organization. We have offices in Washington, D.C., Virginia, California, Florida, and we have a major outreach in Israel. We have hundreds of affiliate attorneys around the country. And we advance religious liberties, the sanctity of life and the family. We're the opposite, if you will, of the ACLU on many of those, in fact, all of those issues.
Okay, good. So you fight those who are trying to redefine marriage and
absolutely
fight those who don't understand what life is and when life begins. Now, as we look at these proposed regulation or rule changes from the IRS, currently what are the rules that regulate 501c4 organizations?
Well, you know, let's talk about the difference between a C3 and a C4. Okay. 501c3 is kind of like a churches fall in that category. Other organizations, like, say, Liberty Council, fall in that category.
Yeah, we are too.
Mm-hmm. And then there's 501c4 organizations. And so Liberty Council has a 501c4 called Liberty Council Action. The difference is that they're both nonprofit organizations. In other words, they're tax-exempt organizations. They're both nonprofit. But the C3 has tax deductibility for contributions. So if you give a contribution, you get a tax deduction on your income tax. On a C4, you don't get the tax deduction. And because of the difference in tax deductibility, historically, C4s have had much more opportunity to engage in political activity, being in favor of or in opposition to policies, laws, ordinances, statutes, and getting involved in the political process involving candidates and even on occasion endorsing or opposing some candidates. So that's where they have had much more leeway, and so that's why this particular regulation now, coming out of the blue as it were, is very concerning because it will put a significant restriction on 501c4 organizations.
Yeah, I know the Tea Party is extremely, extremely concerned about this. Now, a rule change, it's not the same as a law. I mean, it doesn't have to go through Congress and all that stuff. It's just a matter of IRS rewriting the rules.
I mean, you have the administrative branch of government, which is the IRS. All of that is administrative. The statute sets up the IRS and some of the laws, but then the IRS fills in the blanks.
Yeah.
And so that's one of these things here.
But
it's huge. I mean, we all are aware of what IRS did when they were caught by people targeting the 501c4 conservative groups, Tea Party groups, pro-life groups, and so forth in the 2012 election. That was during the application phase. So when these groups would apply for that 501c4 status, they were upheld. They were backlogged. But now what they're doing is they're coming out with proposed regulations, and there's still time for the public comment. It goes to February 27. Then after that, they'll start deliberating those comments. But here's what it does significantly. It prohibits using the words like oppose, vote, support, defeat, or reject. So you can't use we should oppose Obamacare, we should defeat Obamacare, we should reject Obamacare, we should support the repeal of Obamacare.
You can't even use those words in any of your correspondence or anything?
No, all of that would be banned for 501c4s. It also prohibits putting on your website or any communication by email or letter that reaches 500 or more people the name of a candidate for office 30 days prior to a primary. Even his name or her name, or 60 days before a general election. So that means, say, for example, this year, 2014, we've got the midterm election.
Right.
That means we've got from January to early November. So that's basically 10 months of time that you have before the election.
And most people don't even think about the election until like the week before.
That's right. And so
before.
This knocks you out 3 months of those 10 months, and critically, it knocks you out the 30 days before the primary and the 60 days before the general election. So when you come into November for the general election, you can't have any communication regarding the candidate's name in October and September.
Critical months.
You'd have to stop your communication at the end of August.
Oh, my
those
goodness.
Those are the critical months. And so if the candidate did something good or the candidate did something bad, you cannot use the candidate's name, period.
So every tool that currently conservative organizations can use, that 501c4s can use, will be stripped away from them, every tool.
That's right, that's right. And you can't even use the name of a party. So you can't say Democrat, Republican. You can't use those 30 days before a primary, 60 days before the general election. I remember in 2012, we did a comparison between the Democratic and the Republican platform, just an objective comparison. That would be banned because we'd be using the names of the parties, even though we weren't saying which way.
We could say the good party and the bad party.
Yeah, I'm sure they would come after you for that.
Yeah, probably. Well, I'm sure that they would. I'm sure they.
And here's something else too. It prohibits voter registration drives,
even
or conducting nonpartisan get out the vote drives.
So they want to have the entire say in how election is run, and they want to have entire say in the last 60 days prior to an election is just what kind of input is going to be put into that upcoming election.
Right, but even on this one doesn't have the 30 or 60 day time frame. It's just you can't do it anytime.
Period.
You can't do a voter registration or get out the vote, and you cannot distribute or create a voter guide outlining how the candidates voted on a particular issue.
Yeah, we do that, and we always send it down to the main office in Tupelo to have Pat Vaughn look it over, make sure it's truly something that we can legally do. Basically, what the IRS wants is an uninformed populace.
That's right. They want the uninformed populace.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, by the way, say that you can't host candidates for office. You can't have a debate. Can't have a candidate appear at an event. You cannot even have employees of such organization volunteer for doing any of these activities. So if you're employed with a 501c4, you can't even volunteer in your own time, they say. Now, obviously, these things, I think, are unconstitutional.
I would hope so.
Certainly will be challenged
if they go into effect. Yeah, of course, it goes through the whole...
It's going to take the time.
Exactly. The whole legal process takes years, and in the meantime, the damage will be done. And it's just outrageous.
Well, but here's something else that you can really understand where they're coming from. All these apply to 501c4s, but they do not apply to labor unions or trade associations. So,
which are 501c5s, is my understanding.
Yeah, and the labor unions that are the big Democratic supporters, typically, and contributors, they get away scot-free. They can do whatever they want to. So the Obama administration is trying to silence the voice of conservative organizations. Now, here's the other thing. If this applies to a 501c4, which historically has had more opportunity to engage in political activity because contributions are not tax deductible, then it's just a matter of time before they apply these to 501c3s, which are tax deductible, including churches, which fall under the 501c3 category, which means that even churches and other 501c3s will be affected with regards to not being able to hand out voter guides or have voter registrations or get out the vote and so forth. So
churches,
this is a very egregious restriction on our speech.
Churches are already hesitant to do that as it is, and with the possibility of this happening in 501c3s, if this rule is okayed, then churches will be even more hesitant to do anything like that, even before the change in the rules for 501c3s from the IRS. And I know that Congressman Dave Camp, the Republican of Michigan, noted that basically the rule change was to, quote, put Tea Party groups out of business, unquote.
There's no question about that.
And it's interesting that, also according to that Wall Street Journal article from earlier this month, said that it looks like this rule change was tailor-made. It looks like the Treasury combed through the list of previously targeted Tea Party groups, ones that you mentioned from the early 2012, and they compiled a list of their main activities, and the rule change would restrict all those activities. And you just went through the entire list, and it truly would put Tea Party groups and all conservative 501c4s out of business because they would have no teeth into anything that they could do.
That's right. In fact, this particular proposal actually says that political activity is contrary to a social welfare organization. So it is.
So they're just wanting us to, I didn't mean to interrupt, but they just want us to feed the hungry and clothe the poor.
What typically 501c4 organizations do.
Exactly.
That's a C3 organization typically.
Yeah.
So, you know, we look back at this targeting of conservative groups in 2012, and that had been going on for a while under Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Now what they're doing is they're making very express what they were trying to do behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for all the groups that are out there, because they were just trying to stop groups from becoming 501c4s.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got all these 501c4s that are already there.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to silence them just in time for the 2014 and 2016 elections.
I'm sure that's all just a coincidence, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Just like it's exempting the labor unions.
Oh, yeah, just a coincidence. And now what's a 501c5? How does the difference between four and a five?
Well, you know, many of them are, they're different kinds of categories in terms of there's 501c5, 501c6, there's labor unions, there's trade associations that are in that same or similar categories.
Okay.
They just basically list different kinds of organizations that fall in those categories with different kinds of requirements. But from a tax standpoint, in many respects, they're very similar, depending upon what number you fall within.
Right, right.
Some of them are tax deductible. Some of them are not, but all of them are considered nonprofits.
Wow. So the unions have another type groups sort of have their own little category then, the C5.
Yeah, that's right. And so labor unions fall under a different category, and so they're regulating 501c4s, which means obviously labor unions are free to completely engage in political activity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we need to do, and this is what we're recommending, is we are recommending a couple of things. Number one, that you make a public comment. We've got some places where you can do that on our website, libertycouncil.com. However, some people may be not wanting to make a public comment to the IRS, so contact your U.S. representative or senator, and both of them, frankly, but particularly your member of the House. Contact your representative and let them know about this. You know, when the first of the year came around, many of these members of Congress were unaware because this proposed regulation was released on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, Black Friday. Oh, wow.
And they did that on purpose so they could get a jump start on everybody and have the public comment run while everyone was thinking about Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, wow. So I'm sure that was all coincidental, too.
No, you know what they're doing. They're all calculated, obviously.
Absolutely.
And so that's why we need to get members of Congress to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
More and more of them are aware of this. We spent the first part of the year having meetings and getting people aware, but they need to hear from us loud and clear. They're very concerned, I can tell you, and trying to do what they can, but they need our support.
Yeah, because really that would hurt conservative congressmen who, you know, when you compare the voting records of a conservative to a liberal, and that conservative congressman is running for re-election, those, even the, you know, the nonpartisan voter guides are very revealing when you just tell about the voting record of a particular congressman. Either way, it exposes who they really are. I mean, on our website, we have a list of, and this probably would, if they went to, you know, regulating or changing the regulations of 501c3s, we currently have a list of how our senators, Senator Casey and Senator Toomey voted, and also how our 18 congressmen voted on particular issues. So that probably wouldn't even be allowed if they change it for 501c3 organizations, just telling what the voting record itself is.
You know, these voter guides, they just educate.
Yeah, exactly.
And they already have guidelines where you can't endorse or oppose within the voter guide, so you just provide education.
Right.
You indicate where they stand on particular issues, and people can make their own choice as to who they want to vote for.
Right, exactly.
But even that is prohibited.
Yeah, that's...
And of course they must know that the 501c4s of conservative organizations are very effective, more so than the other side.
Yeah.
The other side's very effective in the money that they use from Planned Parenthood and groups like that and their labor unions.
Yeah,
so they're not going to regulate them, but they're going to regulate the 501c4s.
The ones they don't like. And I was kind of curious as to why or how the omnibus spending bill passed so quickly without the usual wrangling or, you know, prolonged wrangling. And I guess that part of it was the Democrats were more than willing to give up some of their priorities in effort to make sure that, you know, they had, the Republicans had two main goals in an omnibus negotiations. One was dealing with Obamacare and the contraceptive coverage requirement to protect groups like Liberty University and other ones who are morally opposed to that. And the other one was to put a hold on these IRS rules, because at that point they had found out, after they came back, they found that these rule changes had been proposed.
Yeah.
But the Democrats, in an effort to make sure that, anyway, the whole thing was an effort, you know, of course the push and shove, but the Democrats were willing to give in certain things and to make sure that the Republicans did not get through with, including in the omnibus bill, the hold on this IRS rule change.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we were hoping that they would do that here. I think the Republicans are afraid of the government shutdown, frankly.
Yeah, after
and,
what happened.
I think they're so leery about it that they're willing to come to some negotiation, and they got the Democrats to do some concessions, but, you know, the Republicans have always blinked when it came to a showdown like that. But, you know, I think what we still need to do, and I'm hoping that members of Congress will have the tools and the resolve, because this is a very critical issue, to oppose this or defund this. I think there's ways that they should be able to come against this. I know members of Congress are doing some of their own public comments as members of Congress.
Okay.
But again, this is a democratically controlled administration.
Oh, yeah.
IRS is not supposed to be partisan,
yeah.
But as we know, it has become partisan under this administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Kind of puts pressure on the newly sworn-in IRS commissioner, who vowed during his confirmation hearing, he was going to restore public trust in the agency. So we'll see what he does to do that.
Well, you know what he also said is he says that the agents need specific guidance on how to deal with the 501c4s.
I thought they already had that.
I thought they did, too, and they've been working pretty well up until the Obama administration. So I think what they're now going to do is try to suggest that this is the guidance that they need. Basically, 501c4s, you see one of those? Oh, no political activity, period, boom, they're done.
And that's what they're formed for, basically, to be more politically involved in a C3. That was an option that was given to them. I mean, the IRS had that option. So if this rule, in fact, does take place, would a 501c4 be forced to become a political action committee?
Yeah, you'd be forced to actually create a political action committee if these rules took place. And, of course, the difference there is there's all kinds of reporting requirements. And there's different limitations on them.
Yeah, plus all the donors have to be reported.
That's right.
Too.
All the donors have to be revealed on that.
Whereas
you don't have to do that with a C-4. You know, so this is exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying, and a lot of people don't have PACs. They don't have political action committees.
Right, and a lot of it is because of all the reporting and stuff, all that reporting.
That's right,
required.
Yeah. We have one that we started about a year and a half ago.
But you guys are a bunch of attorneys. You know how to do it.
But it's a lot of reporting requirements, and you have to be very careful because there's significant penalties for not reporting properly, even though it's inadvertent. So that's not the panacea, but that's a possibility. But the problem is that what happens to a C4 organization? What does it do? I mean, it's basically gutted in terms of what it historically has been able to do.
Yeah.
Now, these rules will be challenged in court, no doubt, and I'm hopeful that they ultimately will be struck down, but that will take a period of time, and we may be well into the 2014 election if they ultimately finalize these during this election. But if not, they're going to definitely try to pull this out of the hat in the 2016 election. But either way, we need to go full bore to try to oppose these regulations now.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, the last day to submit your comment, your public comment, is February 27th. It appears that all this has been, as far as the background behind this rule change, I know Cleta Mitchell, who was an attorney who's representing some of these Tea Party groups that have been targeted by the IRS, she filed a FOIA request with Treasury and the IRS in early December, wanting documents or any correspondence with the White House or any outside group as they were formulating this rule change. And the week of January 16th, they told her that they could not provide, Treasury told her that they could not provide the documents until April. Where the law says they had to respond within 30 days, and that was the response within the 30-day time period. So they're trying to keep all this background as to how this came about and whether there are any ties with the White House under wraps. which is not surprising with this administration. So how can people make a public comment on this, on the dangers of this IRS rule change?
There is a place to write to the IRS, and it's a public comment time frame, so the comments from the public are coming in where you can write. We've got some form comments that people can obtain, and you can use that. You can contact us at Liberty Counsel, and I believe we should have some at libertycounsel.com. There should be information there as well where you can make your public comments. But also make sure that you contact your U.S. representative as well. Make sure that they know and that they're getting involved.
Okay.
They need to hear from us loud and clear.
And also make sure that they've signed on, because Congressman Dave Camp has also introduced a standalone bill. Since it did not make it through as part of the omnibus bill, he has introduced standalone legislation to rein in the IRS.
Yes.
So need to also make sure, I don't have a bill number, but we need to make sure our congressmen are co-sponsors of that bill. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so folks can contact you through libertycounsel.com.
Yeah, they can contact us at either lc.org or libertycounsel with C-O-U-N-S-E-L.com, libertycounsel.com or lc.org.
Okay.
They can always call us too toll-free at 1-800-671-1776. That's 800-671-1776.
Okay, fantastic. So, we definitely need this information, need to do something. Just out of curiosity, do you think the IRS will go through the public comments that are left, that are left on the website?
Well, I think that, you know, they're supposed to, and I think we'll be able to use those, particularly when we're opposing. That's why if there's no public outcry, they're going to just simply say, oh,
nobody
we
cares.
Didn't really hear any opposition from 501c4s, and we gave an opportunity. So we really have to take this opportunity to make the public comments.
Okay. Well, I encourage folks to do that, and they can do that through libertycounsel.com, that's C-O-U-N-S-E-L. Thanks, Matt, so much for being with us and for the great work that Liberty Counsel does.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
Okay, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.